gets to participate in what you're doing in Mexico and right here in the Fort Worth area, Lord. You're so good. And we praise you, Lord. And we thank you for those opportunities to be involved in what you are doing and what you are accomplishing in hearts and minds and physically among the people that need it, Lord. So we just ask that you would take care of the group, the youth group that is returning from Houston today, that you will be with them in their travels, Lord. We also pray for Jimmy and all the Borden family and for their loss. And we just ask that you would comfort them, that you would be with them in this time and that your grace would be upon them. And we pray for Mrs. Mary Smith, Lord, and ask for your healing touch to be upon her, that she would be totally healed and that she would be able to come out of the hospital soon and that she would be able to be reunited out of the hospital with her family here, Lord. Also for James and his health infection that he is facing right now, Lord, we just pray that whatever infection that is in his body would be expelled and would not be permitted to return, that your power would be upon him and it would be evident. And Lord, we also pray right now for your word. We're going to be looking at what you have for us. I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would be here, that he would move, that he would minister, that you would minister to us, Lord. And that we would take what we receive from you and that we would apply it in our lives. Lord, we just love you. And we want to be attentive to what you have to say to us. So speak to us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, I'm not Pastor Bill. He's not here. As Steve said, he is out, and they are getting some rest, him and his wife, Becky. And I am very honored to be able to be here with you guys this morning and speak to you a little bit about the Word of God. The title of the message today is No Compromise. And the reason it's no compromise is because I want to talk to us about not compromising when it comes to God's Word. So we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. So if you guys would go ahead and turn there with me, we'll read it together. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now we're going to look at not compromising when it comes to God's word. Then we're going to examine the life, at least the beginning, of the kingdom of Saul through the lens of Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. Now, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us, when he's talking about certain events in the Old Testament, that those events were written for our admonition, so that we could learn from those events, so that we would not repeat the same mistakes and the same sins that they committed. And I believe that although that is speaking about only certain events in the Old Testament, that we can apply that truth throughout the whole Old Testament and to the examples that we find in the Old Testament. So Saul, if you will turn, if you like, I'm just going to give a summary about the calling of Saul into the kingdom and the early stages of his kingdom in chapters 8 through 13 of 1 Samuel. Now don't worry, we're not going to read every line of every chapter. That's way too much. So I'm just going to give you guys a summary. Now, it's interesting because in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, we find that Israel demands a king. And it shows the atmosphere that they were in at the time. The word here tells us that they asked for a king, and specifically, they said they want a king to make us like all the other nations. Now, when someone who is a child of God wants to be like everybody else, that's not normally a good thing. Now, the scriptures say that that displeased Samuel, and he had a conversation with God. And God said, Samuel, do what they want, because they're not rejecting you. Samuel was the leader at that time. They're rejecting me. So God told Samuel, before we do it, though, I want to make sure that they know what they're in for, right? I want to make sure that they know what they're asking for. So you go and you tell them that when they have a king that's put over them, that king is going to take their sons and their daughters, is going to take their servants, is going to take their 10% of their crops. He's going to take the choice young people. He's going to make them servants. He's going to make some of them military people. He's going to make some of them servants in his household. Some of them are going to work the land for him. And you guys are basically going to become servants of the king. And that's what everybody else has. Are you sure you want that? And they answered resoundingly, yes. Put a king over us. Make a king over us. So we see in chapter 9, we're actually introduced to Saul. And he was a Benjamite. He was a son of Kish. And it's amazing how God orchestrated the events to make him king. The people asked for a king. God said, all right, if you want a king, I'll give you a king. And he orchestrated these events, and he told Samuel beforehand what he was going to do. And what happened was Kish had some donkeys, and they went astray. And so he told his son Saul to take a servant and go and find the donkeys, right? So they went out, and they're searching for the donkeys, and 3 days have passed, and they haven't found the donkeys. And Saul says to the servant, hey, it's been 3 days. You know, my dad's going to start worrying. He's like, he's not going to worry about his donkeys anymore. He's going to start worrying about us, that something bad has happened to us. And the servant said, well, you know, there's a man of God over here, so why don't we go ahead and just take a little bit more time and go talk to this man of God and see what he says. Maybe he can direct us. Now, before that happened, God had been talking to Samuel, and he said, hey, pretty soon a man is going to come, and I'm going to point that man out to you, and that is going to be the king. And it was just as God said. So there was prophesying, there were many things that happened, and at the end of this chapter 9, we see that Saul was even humble. When he receives the news that he's going to become the anointed leader of all of Israel, he answers well. So the appearance of the whole thing is good. He's a tall guy. The scripture says he's head and shoulders above everybody else. He's a good-looking guy. So he's somebody that the people will look up to. And the scriptures actually says that the favor of all of Israel, or the desire of all of Israel, was upon him. And he says, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you speak like this to me? So Israel clamored for a king to be like all the other nations. God gave them their request. And at the end of chapter 9 and through chapter 10, we see that Saul is anointed king, that Saul is proclaimed king, and that within this time of anointing and proclaiming, Samuel speaks to Saul prophetically about what he is going to do. And he gives him some specific instructions. Now, these instructions aren't coming from just anybody. They're coming from a man of God, the seer, or the prophet. So it's the word of God. And Samuel tells Saul, he says, you go and you wait for me 7 days. And on the seventh day, I will come to you, and I will make a burnt offering or burnt offering sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, before you go to complete the task that God has called you to do. After that, some of the people at the end of chapter 10 are actually not happy about Saul being king, and they don't give honor to him. And in chapter 11, we see that God actually uses Saul and his army to liberate or save Jabesh-Gilead, because Nahash, the Amorite, had come up against them to destroy them. In chapter 12, there's actually a wonderful coronation or a time of celebration when, after the great victory has taken place and Saul is crowned king, and everything seems to be going great. And then we come to chapter 13, and that's when things start to go wrong. In chapter 13, verses 5 to 14, we're going to read here in just a moment. But at the beginning stages, we actually see that Saul is putting together an army again. And we see that the Philistines are coming against God's anointed people, or God's chosen people, Israel, the Israelites. And it says in chapter 13, verse 5 of 1 Samuel, "Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the end of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal. And all the people followed him, trembling. And then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, 'Bring me burnt offering and peace offering here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' Saul said, 'When I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistine gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" Now, we look at this and we think about Saul and we think about his state of mind. And it's true that he was looking at the circumstances. And the seventh day had arrived, and Samuel hadn't arrived to make the sacrifice for him. And the people were scattering. And the Philistines were coming up against him. So there's a ton of stuff that's happening. And he is overwhelmed. And he is scared. And I think he forgets just exactly what was said to him. Maybe even more correctly, he decides to ignore what was said to him. The prophetic word that was spoken. So under the surface, it actually kind of looks like he's trusting in the God, and that's what in the Lord, and that's what it says here. It says, "Well, the days had passed, and the Philistines were coming, so and we hadn't made supplication, so I felt compelled to do so." So he was doing something to honor the Lord, but he wasn't doing it in the way that the Lord had said to do it. He was compromising the Word of God. He didn't trust in the Lord. And his heart was far from the Lord. He didn't not lean on his own understanding. He looked around, and what he understood was things were falling apart. And this is crazy. And the people are going to leave, and we're going to lose the battle, and my kingdom is going to go down. And he leaned on his own understanding, and he did what he thought was right in his own eyes. So the second verse in Proverbs says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So what was the problem? Saul didn't acknowledge God in all of his ways. Saul put his trust in his own will, in his own perception of what needed to be done, rather than in God's word. Saul elevated himself above God. Why? Well, it appears like he's doing it, everything good, like he's seeking the Lord's favor, but he did it in a manner contrary to the Lord's instruction. First, by not listening to Saul and waiting until he could get there to make the sacrifices. And secondly, by going against the written word of God, which in Leviticus in chapters 1 and 6, and in other places as well, it says the legal precedence for sacrifices is that the priests need to perform the sacrifices. So he did what seemed was right in his own eyes, but not according to God's word or according to God's will. He didn't follow the law or the prophetic instructions. And think about Samuel's response to him and the consequences that happened because in such a small matter, he decided to disregard what God had told him in a seemingly small matter. He said, you have done foolishly. Because of this, the kingdom is going to be taken away from you. You know, God was going to confirm you and your lineage forever to be over his people. But you acted foolishly. You didn't pay attention to my word. You compromised what I said. Because his heart wasn't inclined to the Lord. And Samuel told Saul that the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. It's a heart problem, right? So how's your heart today? Everything was written for us so that we can understand and that we can actually look at it and consider what they did so that we can apply it to ourselves. Is your heart inclined toward the Lord? Are you trusting in him? Paul, the apostle in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God. That's our reasonable service or our reasonable act of worship. He also says that we need to know the scriptures and that we need to understand them and apply them in our lives, so that we can know the will of God. And in knowing the will of God, we can do the will of God. I thought it was applicable because we were talking about sacrifices. And when you think about a sacrifice, especially in the Old Testament, one, an animal that you put on an altar and it's burnt, it's consumed. It's totally consumed. The only thing that's left are the ashes. So in the same manner that that animal is totally consumed, what God wants from us is for us to present ourselves in that manner completely to him. Not holding back this area or that area or this little corner of my mind for something that is ungodly or that is contrary to God's word. Not making my life a compartmentalized and saying, well, then this part of my week is for God, but this part of my week, I do whatever I want. So we're to present ourselves as living sacrifices, hearing the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, and doing the Word of God, not compromising. I think of a person that I knew, a gal, who was in love with this young, dashing man. And they were dating. Now, this lady, she was a believer. But this young man, he was not. Now, he seemed perfect. He was handsome, and he was respectful, and everybody liked him, and he had a good job, and the list went on and on and on. But she was a child of God, and she knew the Word of God. You know, there's a scripture that says that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And if you think about that scripture in the description of being unequally yoked, or what happened when they would yoke oxen together to work the fields, is they would pick two oxen that were about the same size, about the same stature, weight, and height, so that yoke would go across and that they would both be able to work at the same speed and at the same power and actually accomplish more and plow more efficiently. So God, or the Apostle Paul, using that metaphorically, he says, you're not to put a yoke on with a believer and an unbeliever, because maybe not today, but someday that thing is not going to be level, right? Because his plans are going to be different than your plans. And if you know that, and you know that the Word of God says that, and you continue to do that, then you're doing the same exact thing that Paul did, right? Not Paul, I'm sorry. You know, Paul, he was Saul before he was Paul. So forgive me, guys. That Saul did, right? He just compromised a little bit. He's like, well, you know, Samuel's supposed to be here, and everything's falling apart, so I got to do something. And she's thinking, well, you know, everything's great. God will forgive. You know, he'll come to the Lord. No missionary dating people, you know. Follow God's word. Or what about a guy? And he's a believer, but, you know, things have been kind of tough. And he's been working all day. And he decides he's going to stop off and have a drink or two, you know, just to calm nerves down. His relationship with the Lord maybe is not quite where it needs to be. And he ends up going in there and actually having a few too many, right? And he gets drunk. Well, we know that the scripture says that we're not to be drunk with wine, because that's dissipation. But we're to be filled with the Spirit. So that's compromising with God's word. It's going after things that you shouldn't go after. How many of you guys saw the movie Courageous? It's a Christian film, really cool, a good film. There's this guy, I'll just, you know, give you the heads up on who I want to talk to you about. There's a man in that film, actually, whose name was Javier. And he went, and he was walking down the street, and he was looking for a job, and God orchestrated all of these circumstances so that he could go to work for this other guy building this storage-type building, right? Because the guy that he had contracted, the other guy, the police officer, his name was Javier. And he asked him, are you Javier? It's like, yeah, I'm Javier. Well, he wasn't actually there for that job, but he got it, and he built the thing, and he does such a good job that his friend, or his new boss, found him a job working at a plant. And everything went great at that plant. And the bosses called him in and said, you know, Javier, you're doing such a great job. We really like your work, and we want to promote you. We want to put you over this department so that you can be the lead man. But we're going to help you, and you got to help us. So the only thing that we want you to do is we want you to fill out the reports where not as much product is going out as is actually going out for tax purposes, right? And so Javier goes home, and he talks to his wife. And he's like, honey, they're asking me to do something that I cannot do. God's word tells me I'm not to lie. Right? So in the movie, he goes back and he tells them, you know, I can't do that. Well, in the movie, it was just a big test. Right? They said, that's perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for. We're actually going to put you over that department because we want somebody who above all is honest. Right? And maybe that happens in real life, but maybe sometimes it doesn't, right? Maybe in real life, you know, that circumstance happens and at work or whatever, you're asked to do something that is illicit. And you have to decide, hey, am I going to follow God or am I going to do what they want? Am I willing to compromise God's word to do what they want? Or above all, am I going to follow God? So Saul, he chose poorly, right? He chose not to respond positively to what God had instructed him to do. He was wise in his own eyes because he did not truly fear the Lord. And that's our last verse in Proverbs. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So he chose poorly, Saul did. So what about that gal who is dating an unbeliever and up to this point has chosen not to pay attention to God's word? Well, right now, today, you have the opportunity to decide to obey and to follow him. Or that guy that maybe, you know, he wants to stop off to have a couple on the way home. Well, he can decide today, hey, I'm not going to stop there. I'm not even going to take the chance. I'm going to follow what God says, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, letting his word minister to me rather than having those drinks. Or those people that go to work, and they're tempted to compromise God's word. Today, you can decide, hey, that's not going to be me. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what he says. No compromise when it comes to God's word. God's serious about his word. He loves us. And he loves us so much that he gives us these warnings. And he gives us the opportunity to walk with him. He loves us so much that he gave his son so that we could actually have a right relationship with him, so that our hearts could be transformed. So if you're here today and you're listening and you're like, well, none of this stuff really applies to me because I don't really have a relationship with God. I don't really know him. I don't even really understand what you're talking about. Well, I'm here to tell you that God has a way, and it's his prescribed way, for you to know him, for you to be transformed, for you to be saved. And it's in trusting in Jesus Christ, the only way. Because there's just one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're thinking, well, you know, that's great, but I'm not making any bad choices. I'm following God. I love him, and I'm doing what he wants me to do. But you still find yourself in the middle of a storm. It's like the pressure, everything that's happening to everybody else is happening to me too, and I'm doing it right. Well, you need to do the same thing. You need to lean not on your understanding. You need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You need to lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, you need to acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You don't need to be wise in your own eyes, and you need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. In Matthew 11, the apostles are following Jesus. And he tells them, hey, I'm going to go up on the mountain and I'm going to pray, and I want you guys to get in a boat and I want you to go across to the other side. And they did. They were obeying God's word. And in the middle, there was this huge storm. And it came against them and they're like, oh, we're going to die. Right? Their faith was really low. And just when they needed him, Jesus came to them. So if you are going through it and your heart is right with God and you don't need to make an adjustment because you haven't compromised God's word, know that he is with you. And he'll come to you when you need it most. He loves you and he is our Redeemer. So Father, we just come before you and we praise you this morning because you're good. And Lord, I know that we talked about compromising on your word and not compromising on your word. And sometimes these types of subjects are difficult. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to us and you allow each of us to hear and understand what you have for us. And for those of us that are here that are maybe going through difficult times, but we haven't done anything that we perceive that is against your word, Lord, I just pray that you would be with us and that you would comfort us and that we would be lifted upon your wings and that our hope and you would be restored, and that our faith would be strengthened. We know that you're good, and we know that you want good things for us. We also know, Lord, that if we're doing things that are not pleasing to you, that our relationship with you will be hindered. So right now, Lord, I just pray that you would minister to each of us and wherever we're at. And according to our needs, you would help us to realize what we need to do with what we have heard today. That we would be built up in your word. And that your love would be evident to us. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, guys. There's going to be people up here in the front ready to pray with you. If any of you feel like you need to pray, I mean, we're here for you. Thank you so much for coming to Calvary Chapel this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday. And then next week, Pastor Bill will be back. So, woo-hoo, Pastor Bill back next week. Thanks for coming. And may you guys have a wonderful and blessed week.
Let's all stand up and sing our last song. God is so good.